Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 445, There Is a Tide.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And this season's still happening to us.
It's another one of these. Another one of these.
Here comes another mouth.
Uh-huh.
The title of this episode makes me think of an old Mitch Hedberg bit where he met a NASCAR driver and he said, "You really like Tide." And I say that just because that little piece of Mitch Hedberg has been stuck in my head all week like a song, so. Yeah, this is what, episode 12 of the season, and...
Yeah, and it sure is... Boy, it sure is something.
It feels like they really dragged their feet for about 8 to 10 episodes and then suddenly dumped a whole bunch of stuff on us, like, at the end.
But all the stuff they dump on us is stupid and boring, and I don't want it.
It is, but there's a couple of ideas, and we'll get into it, but there's a couple of ideas that probably could have been explored more instead of just, by the way, this. Wait, what?
Uh-huh.
Just their sense of plotting on this show is terrible.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, we'll get into the individual elements of it, but just overall, the idea, like, the way things unfold and whoever did the outline for this was just did a bad
job. You guys need less episodes. How about that?
I mean, yes, I think so.
Uh-huh.
Like,
maybe if you guys only had like 6 episodes per season, you'd have to like force all the good shit into them.
Like, I think the 2 seasons of Picard out of the 3 that I liked had 10 and I liked about 8 of them. I think 7 or 8 is the max.
Mm-hmm. Just like...
Yeah.
Fucking... Giorgio Goes to Mirror World did not need to be fucking 2 episodes, just off the top of my head. It didn't need to be 2, it didn't need to be 1 episode. It could have been a phone call.
That's true, but also the way they paced that was like, the bits that pertain to her were, it could have been a single episode, but they bookended them with the rest of the serialized plot, and...
Yeah.
So it was like the worst of all worlds.
Mm-hmm.
But I, as I've said before, I have seen season 4. I know it gets better. This is a mess.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
But let's get into it. Please tell us you really like Tide.
Captain's log. They have my ship. Specifically, Osira and the Emerald Chain have captured Discovery and Michael and Book and I guess that cat are giving chase. Meanwhile, Osira is pretending to be Discovery and being chased by the Viridian back to Starfleet headquarters. The plan here is to get Admiral Vance to let Discovery in, where they can start negotiating. It works pretty well until Mike and Book fly Book's ship directly up Discovery's asshole and tip their hand off, but unfortunately Disco's already through the shields. Osira sends the randos back to Starfleet, but keeps the bridge crew as hostages. Joke's on her, Admiral Vance has no idea who half of these guys are. Is that Bryce or Reese? He whispers to an aide who he's extremely embarrassed to learn is actually Reese. Or possibly Bryce. Meanwhile, Michael escapes into the Jefferies tubes to do a diehard, and Book is captured and united with the bridge crew, who basically instantly escape because the Emerald Chain kind of sucks. Stamets finds himself captured by Aurelio, a pretty nice scientist who looks way too much like Ted Cruz for me to ever listen to or respect him. Over the course of the episode, Michael and the bridge crew take Discovery back in a sequence I thought was actually pretty awesome. Meanwhile, Vance and Osira negotiate, and while Vance is open to Osira's plan for uniting with the Emerald Chain if it involves the dissolution of slavery and all the other atrocities they've been committing, he refuses to let Osira remain unpunished and in a state of power, so she throws a hissy fit and leaves. So much for the great leader of the Emerald Chain. In engineering, Michael frees Stamets and then captures him again so that he can't use the spore drive to save Hugh and Nadira. He is not happy about that at all, but what's he going to do? This is Michael we're talking about.
I need to correct you on something.
You... Is it this was actually not that good?
Oh, no. You said, I guess the cat. She's a queen.
Uh-huh, no. When I was writing this earlier, I'm like, should I leave a space in so Al can say that? I probably should have.
I realized as you were into the next sentence, and I didn't want to go back, so.
It's like, oh. I'm making a note of this, though.
He, Book, on a couple of occasions, as they're frantically preparing to do various things, checks on the cat. And I love that. I continue to love that about him.
He goes to Michael, is Grudge okay? And she pulls up a hologram of Grudge nestled into a bed and goes, she is the most comfortable anyone has ever been on a spaceship.
Like, this show gets cats in a way that the next-gen writers writing Spot never really did.
Yeah.
And I like that. Of course, everything's chaos, but this cat has a comfy little spot, probably on your clean laundry or some other place she probably shouldn't be.
Yep.
And it's fine. Like,
the only thing this thing is missing is Grudge getting up on the keyboard while they're trying to escape.
Oh, absolutely. Michael, this secret message says, hold position, we are coming to what happened?
X. Oh, that's Grudge. It means she wants us to get her more cat food.
Yep. In 1,000 further years into the future, cats can communicate their needs with the letter X.
Also in the future, there's a fancier feast you can order.
Of course, it's the fanciest feast.
Yep. It's real easy to replicate the crystal bowl. So.
Yeah. It's not available since the burn, unfortunately, though.
No, of course not.
That's why Book really wants to help, like, get everything fixed. Mm-hmm. So.
If I join Starfleet, I can get the really good cat food, and Grudge will leave me alone for 5 seconds.
You can give her
just like, no, I won't.
You can give her people food. No. She needs this. It's way better than people food.
Special digestive issues.
Uh-huh. She's a queen. Which means she's horribly inbred and has lots of issues. Like a queen.
Gonna piss all over my bookcase.
Mm-hmm. Like the queen. But my good thing was what you just said, the flying into Disco's asshole. It was a good, like, oh no, they've gotten into the Federation HQ thing, and they're like, well, there's something we can do. We can just fly where the ship has been, right into the hangar bay there.
Yeah.
And that was actually a nice little sequence. I didn't hate that.
I have always thought it was really cool that Disco's back door is just hanging open. Like,
Flonk
they don't
hates
need
that
like
so
a,
much. Like, that is a,
I know
that is a regular criticism he has, and I think both of, like, I have no opinion. I think both of you come from valid places on this one.
I have always liked the design on Discovery, and that's just like. Look, the rotating saucer is the top thing, but I also like the fact that the ass is just hanging open, because we don't need doors, it's the future. Fucking, we'll put up a force field, it'll be fine.
But then you have, you know, ships just flying in there like this.
Yeah, what are the odds that'll happen?
I guess that's true.
Well,
what are the odds that...
What are the odds that'll happen again?
What are the odds we'll just get penetrated?
Uh-huh.
I do hate that Book's ship, the thing that it does to reconfigure itself is called morphing.
I don't love that, but I do like what it, like, I love the effect it does.
Yeah, it's like made of little triangles, and it sort of rearranges itself depending on where it needs to be and what it needs to do.
Like, it's automatically dodging rocks and shit by, like, moving stuff and, like, separating. It's got, like, that, like how the nacelles on Disco are, like, separate now. Or could be. I forget if they are now.
They are.
I just said I like the ship, and then I haven't looked at it in a while.
I don't like any of that stuff, but I appreciate that it's different, and it's not the same boring gray bullshit we've seen on, like, every Star Trek show for a while now. So, you know,
it's like, you guys tried something different. Good for you.
I talked about this, you know, getting into Enterprise and going into the movies and stuff, like, not the Abrams movies, but like the later, like, Nemesis and I think even the one before Nemesis. You know, that one.
Insurrection.
Like, all the Starfleet ships were just sort of gray and samey looking, and like now they've gotten them back to the sort of the brighter colors, and not even colors, just the, like, more of a white, but just so you can see them. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I struggled to find a good thing, because this episode was boring and long and
stupid. This is a lot of action sequences, which I know are not your favorite. Or your second favorite.
If it's inventive and interesting, I will enjoy it. And there was none of that.
Now, this is a real, this is, like, I say in my summary that they're doing a Die Hard, but, like, Michael is literally in a Jeffrey's tube with no shoes on. Like, they knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah, she, like, she's almost to the point where she's like, ho, 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 I have a disruptor. Like, it's... Except
and fucking cowboy guy's like, I don't know what that means.
That guy wishes he was Alan Rickman.
Oh, God, every day. I was so fucking annoyed when that guy came. Like,
well, this is your bad thing.
Oh, God, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Fucking, like, the episode starts, and it starts with the previously on that, like, tells you what you need to know about this, about the episode.
Yeah, that's usually a tip, like okay, what things are coming back that I've forgotten about? Oh, no.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you guys are talking a whole lot about Mirror Universe Michael. That probably means we're going to the fucking Mirror Universe. This one, the first thing that happens is that that cowboy guy shows up, and I'm like, oh, motherfucker, that guy died.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
That's not how you usually
say
that.
I hate this dude. Mm-hmm. That guy died.
Thank you. Tilly left him in the snow.
Yeah, huh?
Like the killer.
It's like, there's not a chance of me being alive.
Mm-hmm. I haven't washed my hair in 10 episodes. Yes, I can tell.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Greasy mother. Oh, my God. So this kind of goes. Well, you finish, and then I'll go into my
bed. Like, that guy was nothing when he was here. Like, the fact that, like, this dude is, like, the real problem for, like, Starfleet, it just feels like, this guy should not be a problem for any of these characters. And suddenly he's, like, the most problem for these characters. And the fact that he's back again, and he still sucks, and I gotta deal with him again while all the Adira stuff is going on, and I cannot fucking, like, she's nothing, too.
Osyra. You said Adira.
Yeah,
who we do
that's
like.
Right. Yeah, no, Adira's great. Osyra.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed that. That's stupid fucking name.
Well, there's two new names that have sort of the same cadence, and they both end in like, I get it.
Uh-huh. It's like we took, you know, Osiris, the fucking Egyptian god of death. Is that right?
I don't know.
But now it's Osyra because she's scary. Uh-huh. She got an emerald chain.
Uh-huh. The thing is, like I've said all along, and I will continue to say, she's got no screen presence. I just don't buy her as the head of a criminal empire. I thought of the perfect person that would have pulled this character off, and then I realized she's from the soap that I watch, and no one's going to know what I'm talking about, so never mind.
Sure.
What they could have done is, okay, so what I think, they cast her. Mm-hmm. If you look at her in the Orion makeup, she looks a lot like and this might be difficult for you because you kind of have face blindness, but she strongly in the face resembles young Majel Barrett, like who was the first.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Who was the first Orion?
Yes.
Like,
all right.
I think what they were going for was the look of young Majel in the Orion makeup, in the regrettable Orion stuff in the cage.
Mm-hmm,
and they cast her for looks, and that's it. Because seriously, if you put them side by side, they look a lot alike. But
I could see that, but just...
It's nothing. But what they could have done is, okay, her guys are pretty interesting, though. Like, at least she's got a cool team, and this was their opportunity. And no, they got this cowboy motherfucker, and the Ted Cruz guy, as you call him, which is very accurate.
So there's this dude who's like Osyra's like main engineer guy, like he's a scientific genius or whatever, and he looks exactly like Zodiac Killer Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I assume pissing on himself a number of times.
Yep. Because he likes the warm, wet feeling on his leg.
Yes, exactly. I do have to take issue with your description of him as a nice scientist, though. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got a black leather outfit on, and he's torturing Stamets while classical music is playing. Fuck you, show.
Yeah, but he feels real bad about it.
Well, I get what they were going for. What they're going for is, okay, so he's in a wheelchair, and I hate this character, and I hate, like, this isn't something I like to bring up, this part. Not the wheelchair part. The I had just written a note down about how everyone in the show is beautiful and there's not anyone I find unattractive, and then this guy showed up, and that's what I mean. I don't like to say that's an uggo, because no, that's first of all, it's subjective, second of all, it's shitty, but he really does look like they cast him from the floor of a convention. He looks like a fan in the most derogatory possible way.
He absolutely does.
But they do get points for including a wheelchair-bound character. Like, good job. Mm-hmm. Good job for a little bit of representation there. But,
yeah, absolutely.
And the question is always, well, it's the future. Shouldn't they have fixed this? And, like, I have mixed feelings about that. Because, one, you want some representation. Mm-hmm. You don't want to just say, oh, well, everything's fine for you now. Like, maybe show some people who look like the people in the audience. That's okay. But also, because of the burn and because of limited resources and all that, his backstory I don't hate, which is like, hey, the Emerald Chain is fucking brutal and they would have euthanized my ass, but Osiris saw that I could help her with science and kept me alive, which is, he thinks, a good thing. And then he comes to realize, oh, wait, no, she's awful.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, he spends 10 minutes with her working and not doing her, like, you're so great, and let's just put some nice music on for you to keep you real calm and everything, so you can keep doing your science.
No, he goes up to the bridge and sees what she's really about, and like,
it's like, hey, do you need to just stand here for like half an hour whipping people? Yes, it's part of the process that you don't want to know about, okay? Sometimes you gotta whip a whole lot of people.
Oh, how come everything I whip runs away from me? But yeah, I didn't much care for him, and my bad thing overall is I cannot believe Mullety Rebels still exist in the 30 billionth century. Like, these ones are Mullety Rebels times section 31. They took the two things that I really don't like, and they're like, what if we dressed them up in the tight black leather and gave them shock troopers that look like Daft Punk? Cool.
The whole thing just looks so boring. It's just like, we've seen this a million. Like what random guy on the street would say is like cool villains if you like grabbed him and shook him.
Yeah, I guess so.
Hey, what would you? What kind of bad guys would you put in an evil space army? I don't know. Black leather and helmets.
Yeah, and you know, I was just saying, I don't love the ship designs, but they are something we haven't seen before. Like, why why didn't that design philosophy extend to the costumers and the makeup guys? Like, I'm so sick of
generic.
Here's a bunch of Mad Max guys for the 100,000th time.
Like, try anything else, guys. Come on.
No, we're just gonna keep doing this forever.
This is fine. You guys like this, right? No, and I don't want these.
And meanwhile, Osira, you think, is going to beam into Federation HQ and blow the place up. And instead, she's like, let's have some peace now. Like, what?
No, I am going to negotiate.
Are you?
It's time to it's time to stop being evil.
And I didn't even hate that as an idea, but the way it played out was like every other choice they made. Why did you do it this way?
Yeah, it's just a lot of like.
Well, this gets into your good thing.
That is true. So this episode starts with a lot of Osiris doing what she has to, and she's making the hard choices and all that bullshit that I was not enjoying. I'm just like watching. I'm like, okay, you guys are gonna. You spent this whole season making her fucking terrible. You did a bad job of it, but now you're like, but actually, she's doing her best. She has to like, it's she has burn. To have
Things
slavery.
Are hard.
Yeah, there's nothing we can do about it. But so I appreciate that the show ends with that going, yeah, but that doesn't make any of what she does forgivable. Like, this episode ends with Vance, like, and her negotiating and him being like, okay, yes, we will. If you're going to get rid of, like, the slavery and the atrocities and everything, and, like, you know, we can discuss, we might actually be able to reach an accord here.
Yeah.
And then he goes, but you can't be in charge.
Oh, what I like is he doesn't say that at first. What he says, who's going to be in charge? And she just looks at him and he goes, because obviously it's not you.
Yeah.
He's just so fucking good. Sorry, please continue.
Yeah. Clearly it's not going to be you.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's fine. I know a scientist that has a real face for politics that
throughout
could definitely take over.
Oh God! Throughout this entire sequence, they got one of those fucking bow tie ass holograms being a lie detector, which is actually not a bad use of, like, you know, hologram sits there and tells you if they're lying while you're negotiating. It's pretty good. But every incredibly implausible thing she said to this point, the thing just sort of nods and, like, yeah, she's on the up and up. And then Vance says, this guy won't just be a puppet for you, right? And, no, of course not. And dude goes, she's lying.
Yeah.
That was a really good payoff.
Liar. Lie.
Like a lie cat from Saga.
Yep. Thanks, lie cat.
Is that what it was called? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was or it's either Lie Cat or Lion Cat.
Lion Cat, yeah.
Because it was lying.
Right. But, yeah, that was, it was just so good because at a certain point, I'm like, does the hologram even work? Does she hack it or something? No.
Mm-hmm.
No, now it's working.
She, that's the thing. Is she's like, she's completely truthful up to a point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I really hope he doesn't ask me if I'm going to have a puppet. Mm-hmm. Shit.
Vance.
Shit.
Like, the whole time, again, I'm just not. I think she's a decent performer in a different role. I just think this is a bad role for her. I'm not trying to say she's a bad actor. I'm saying she's not good for this part. But but Vance completely carries all of those scenes because I continue to... There's just something... I buy him in a position of authority, but he's also approachable. Like, it's a weird line to walk where it's like, I wouldn't mind if this guy were my boss. Like, he's seems like a decent dude who also knows how to run things. And like, at a certain point, she's like, here's my thing. Will you sign it? He's like, hang on. I need to read the terms and conditions.
Yeah. I'm not just gonna.
Yeah. And she's just like, Hey, you finished reading it? Would you shut up for a minute? I'm reading.
Yeah. Stop fucking like, hey, what's the deal with these holograms? I can't really talk to you about that right now because I'm reading.
Have you ever eaten an apple before? Shut up.
Shut the fuck up.
But he never says that. It's just on his face. Uh-huh. And he's like, I hate this. I hate you. But also, you have brought me a good idea, and I'm not just going to throw it out the window because I don't like you. So let's see if we can make this work.
Hey, this says you can repossess my music at any time for any reason.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's not your music. I'm just licensing it to you.
Yeah.
We fell for that in the 21st century.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be doing that again.
Well, is it any coincidence that the Spotify logo is green?
Weird.
Uh-huh. But yeah, I like I said, I just love Vance. I love all his stuff there.
But like, my point is that, like, he gets to the end and he's like, well, you can't be in charge, obviously. And also, we can't just have your puppet be in charge. And also, obviously, like, you're going to have to be tried for your many, numerous crimes.
And she's like, and she goes,
I beg your pardon, what?
Uh-huh. Not me.
No. What even have I ever done?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you remember earlier in the episode where, like, I was talking about how everything I did was for the good of the Pajoran people?
Oh, God. Yeah, we learned about that many centuries ago, too.
And I really like that, you know, like, I still hate this character, but, like, I really respect that they're just like, no, you're not. You're terrible. You own people.
Yeah.
We don't like that.
No.
That's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that they actually remember that. They're not trying to do the Georgiou thing again where it's like, yeah, but cannibalism, that's pretty forgivable, right? I mean, like, if the character's cool.
I mean,
well, first of all, the character's not cool.
Today you're sitting here with me eating a charcuterie plate, so I guess we're fine now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We all agreed this is fine, right? This person is cool. Yeah, let's have a great funeral for her.
Mm-hmm.
I may be mad about that forever.
It's bad. It's not Archer leaving the ship stranded bad, but it's
no
top 10, I would say.
It's real up there.
If someone approached us and said, "Dear Al and Maggie, what is your bottom 10?"
Uh-huh.
That would be on there.
Oh, you want to hear about my bottom?
No,
you know,
not
my bottom.
Not my bottom 10. My bottom.
My bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Butt dance in your pants. Let the rhythm hit your pants down. Oh, no.
I had...
Hey, Stormbad, I really, really like your Discovery episode.
Oh, it's terrible.
You would.
I have a note here. Ah, good, we're spending an entire hour in the crawl space like a fucking raccoon.
Michael gnawing on a cracker.
Mm-hmm. Like, some of it was okay, I guess, but most of it was tedious. Also, getting back to the cowboy guy, as you call him, I don't remember his name, and I don't care to learn it.
No.
We keep seeing him get outsmarted, and it's like, this trick only works if you see him pulling off some evil genius shit and then Michael outsmarting him, but all I ever see is this guy falling on his ass, so like...
Yeah, he starts stupid and he stays stupid, and he was stupid in the other episode, too.
But Michael's clearly doing some well-thought-out, clever stuff, and she's really wasting that material on this guy.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah, you could probably take it down a couple notches, Michael. You know, save your strength.
You probably just use some tactics from, like, to fight the wet bandits. You're probably good.
Uh-huh. Hits a deer with a paint can.
Mm-hmm. Osira.
Osira with a paint can. Leave a deer alone.
Mm-hmm.
They did nothing.
This is a real Magneto Cerebro situation. So one of the things I want to talk about with the with the pacing of the season is you mentioned that they built up Osira like to be bad all season. And I don't want to like nitpick because your point was taken. You're correct in the point you were making, but Osira was mentioned by name for like 8 episodes, then showed up for 2, and then this happened.
Yep.
It's once again, like I was saying with Cowboy Guy, where it's like, first you have to establish that they are one way to then, you know, subvert that with a different way, but they never really put the work in. And the biggest problem I have with the pacing this season is the whole weird, calling it an arc is too generous, about the computer coming alive.
Yeah, they have touched on that almost none.
It was a plot point in the one episode where they're trying to improve morale, but it came from out of nowhere in that episode and didn't go anywhere, and then we forgot about it for 5 or 6 episodes.
Yeah.
And there was a short that dropped for season 2, I believe.
Yeah, and the short was like it was set in the far, far future, too. Like,
yeah. It might have been I don't remember how it fits in, and I bet we could find out. But like, because it had book and it had the ship, but I don't remember. But it really, like, the last beat of this episode is, how are we going to take the ship back? Oh, the ship is alive, and here are the robots to help you. Like,
yeah, it took itself back.
Okay, that's cool, but like, I like that idea. I genuinely do, but they really didn't put the work in. It's just suddenly this thing we've mentioned in dialogue once or twice throughout the season has now paid off. It's like Detmer's PTSD.
Yeah, it's real, like, just, oh, and by the way, we got to do this thing, by the way.
Like, the way they broke this season, it's obvious. They're like, oh, shit, we got to build this up. Well, put a reference here, here, and here, and then it can pay off. That's bad storytelling, guys.
Yeah.
It's just bad. And
yeah, it's not, yeah.
And then, of course, there's the choice of putting Tilly in charge of the ship. She was in charge for 15 minutes, and they got taken by these guys.
Yeah, and, like, they try and sort of make up with it with, like, her, like, taking command of the bridge crew, which is trying to escape and everything, but it still is just, like, come on, guys.
Yeah, about 45 minutes into the episode, I had the note. I guess the entire rest of the cast gets nothing to do, and then they started, like... They were tapping out Morse code, in case you were wondering how springtime fresh the plot elements were in this. Morse code.
I kind of like that bit, just because it's like, book goes afterwards like, what were you doing? Morse code. What were you communicating to each other? Keep tapping until it pissed them off.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know.
No, I kind of like that, you know, like, it looks like these guys have a plan or something.
Yes, because the whole point was that they were a ship of very young, mostly research people. Like, they all came off like college kids before, and they still do. Like, it's a very young crew, and if they don't, like, they've done no work to define the characters. And so when they put them in a situation like this, it's like, okay, is that one going to use their strength in, what are they good at?
Yeah,
and
right.
What's this one going to do? I just... They're ill-defined, like, you know? Like,
yeah, which one of the, like, are these guys, like, what are these guys' skills? We don't know half these
people. They're like, obviously, Owoshikun's gonna, what does she do? Like, I know what her job on the ship is.
Thing?
And she did get one episode where we talked about her religious backstory, but, like, I don't know what she's like now, really. Like, I
don't
her
remember
backstory.
Any of that. Yeah.
I, she's friends with Detmer is the main thing.
Yeah, and like, she's Detmer's buddy, and I barely know Detmer.
Detmer has one thing that happened to her this season.
Yeah.
But, like, as far as what her personality's like, I don't, there's not much there either. It's just, you know, because once again, we're all here to prop up Michael.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we got the bit at the end where Paul is like, Adira and Hugh are there. We've got to go back. And I'm the only one who can take us back. So we're going back. And she's like,
yep.
You would risk the entire ship to save your loved ones? What a selfish ass you are. And I'm just.
How horrible.
I'm just looking at Michael Burnham and I'm like, what the fuck is your problem, lady?
This is all you do.
Yeah. How could you think like, of yourself at a time like this, Paul?
Yeah. Wow. And then she knocks him out. Like, I was watching.
Go ahead.
I was watching. I was thinking about this, and I'm like, this needs to have actual stakes going. Like, this is a horrible thing that she has done to him. This needs to be a thing that bugs her, or that bugs him for, like, the rest of the show.
I don't.
Like, you can't just have him come back and be like, I get it, you know, whatever.
She knocked him out and put him in an egg. You forgot the egg part.
Yeah. She did put him in an egg and kick him out the back door.
I actually like just as a physical thing. I like putting him in a tiny force field bubble and then opening the airlock. That's pretty good.
Hey, don't worry, they'll find you. And I mean, they did, but still.
Yeah. Yep. What else?
What else happened in this great episode?
Oh, I had the note. Osira mentions like Deep Space 517 or something. I said, "Ooh, they've added a lot of deep spaces since 9."
Yeah, well, the space is a lot deeper than it used to be, so they have a lot more places to put things. Ooh,
fair enough. What else? Oh, there's a point where Michael, and eventually the scene makes it clear that what she's doing is writing a final like love note to. Like her loved one. She's sending a note to her mom. Hey mom, I didn't make it. Which was nice. I don't mind those moments. Like in any military thing where you think you're not coming back. But what it comes off as, the first part of the message is, Mom, they've taken over all our systems.
it's just rude.
Yeah, like, are you telling your mom?
Mom!
Yeah.
I can't fight all your battles for you. You march right back to that school and tell them don't eat me.
Just one more. Can you just let this be our last battlefield?
Yeah, please.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you didn't want long, elaborate titles anymore, so I took them away. Mm-hmm. Are you saying you're responsible enough to have long, elaborate titles back again? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because we could keep going with there is a tide, dot, dot, dot. The dot, dot, dot implies there's a whole long title we're not telling you.
Yeah, I had to take away the end of there is a tide because you weren't responsible enough for it.
There is a tide rising against the, I don't know, it has to be some stupid metaphor. Yeah.
Yep. Well, we'll get you a stupid metaphor for your birthday this year. That's far away. That'll take 1,000 hours.
What else? Anything?
I don't think so. Hang on. This is running kind of short, but it really is just a lot of running around.
Yeah, sure is.
And then they ran over there, and then they ran back. I like Michael with the knife in her leg. That was kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah.
It gave me real Kirk on the bridge with a knife in his back vibes, and he won't leave because Spock will take over.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, you know, better episode, but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's one of the Emerald Chain guys up there with a knife. I'm like, we're 1,000 years beyond the future we were already in, and people are still just waving knives around, huh? We haven't come up with something better than a knife yet.
Al, there's nothing better than a knife. It's a sharp piece of metal that you stab someone with. That's just easy.
Okay. Stone knives and bearskins.
Fucking here's Maggie talking about how great knives are.
Are you going to start telling me about the darkness and the light now?
I hope not. Oh, doesn't sound like something I'd do.
One other thing I wanted to mention about Osira.
Mm-hmm.
She goes weirdly British, like, every 10th line of dialogue.
Yeah, right?
She's got the Princess Leia disease.
Yeah. And yes, also, of course, we will be attacking your space stations.
I recognize your foul stench when you're brought on board.
What are you doing there, Osiris? This is just what Orions sound like sometimes, but not all of the time.
But not all the time. So how you doing over there?
Hey, buddy, we really got to get over here and negotiate.
Osiris.
What are you doing now?
Oh, I'm from the Maple Chain.
Oh, golly. You sure you don't want to be part of the Maple Chain? Great syrup there.
You don't want to be part of our Orion Heritage moments?
We invented Winnie the Pooh and basketball, don't you know?
No, you didn't. Okay, Winnie the Pooh, yes. But you did not invent Superman, my God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Two Jewish dudes from Ohio did that. You have no claim on that.
Love inventing Superman over here.
Canada.
Greatest
liars.
Canadian hero, don't you know?
Uh-huh.
You're a liar.
You will take Alpha Flight and you will like it.
I don't want to like Alpha Flight. We got Wolverine. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes that guy.
I guess so. Okay.
A very popular hairy man.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other thing about this episode?
For the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
No. I think it's no.
Very well. Well, I suppose that's all for this time. Next week, yeah. You will be pleased to know that the season ends.
Yeah. Oh, thank God. Yeah. It's been so long.
It has.
I'm really excited for this fourth season that you're excited about.
Okay. I wanna manage expectations here.
Uh-huh.
It's good. It's got some Star Trek shit that I absolutely love. It's also got some garbage. Like, it's got a lot of B-plot garbage, I would say. The A-plot is solid throughout, but
okay.
It's not flawless. It's one of the better seasons of modern Trek. I would say season one of Strange New Worlds is better, but after that, very good. The season arc is not a big threat. It's a science mystery, which is what Star Trek should be.
Yeah, no, that sounds good.
And there end up being threats along the way, but like it's mostly, here's a legitimately strange, very hard to perceive thing that we have to figure out what it is. And that's a great thing to drive the plot, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah. I don't want to get spoilers or anything, but I assume that the problem is not because a man yelled very loudly.
No, it's not.
It's not that, Maggie.
No, it's not.
A woman yelled very loudly, but, you know, I assume you would like that.
Yeah. Always nice to hear from a woman, loudly.
All over the universe.
In fact, the first episode's called A Woman Loudly.
Well, now we're getting somewhere.
As ever, if you want to hear us reviewing Lower Decks, you can contribute as little as a buck to our Patreon and hear that. We are well into season two of that. So
Yeah. Check
that out, patreon.com/algar. The website for this show is postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, it's postatomichorror@gmail. We will not be doing a mail show between seasons 3 and 4. We will be doing one after season 5. So it's still going to be quite some
time. Yeah, when we wrap up Disco. Yeah. Yeah.
But if you have thoughts or whatever, I would say if you're talking about a specific thing from an episode, just give us a little reminder because we both don't remember things so well.
Yeah, tell us what you're thinking about.
Because I'm very old and Maggie's gotten COVID about 40 times. So
I have gotten COVID about 40 times.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we struggle remembering shit from time to time.
Uh-huh. It's hard. We're so tired.
That's true. But next week is the season finale. It's called That Hope Is You Part 2, which I do like that. Yep. I do like the That Hope Is You was the season premiere, and the payoff to that is at the end. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's a neat idea.
And I believe Brian will be joining us for that. I got to double check with him, but that's one he signed up for.
I like that guy.
Yeah. And that's all for this time.
Yeah. See you, folks.
See you, folks. I'm British.
Admiral Vance, how British am I?
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2024. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.